Jeremiah chapter number 18, verse number 1, but I hope you found it. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." And notice what he said, "O house of Israel." And let me say this, and I think I can do this. Holy Hills Baptist Church, cannot the Lord do with you as the potter wants to do with the clay and mold us and to make us to what He wants us to be? Here's a very familiar passage of Scripture. Everybody's probably, if you've been in the church any length of time, you've probably heard a sermon on the potter and the clay. And I've never preached it here before, but here is a relationship that God wants to get over, a message that He wants to get over to us. Sometimes the Lord will use a father and a child relationship to give us a meaning. Sometimes He'll use the husband and wife relationship to give us something from the Word of God. And then sometimes He'll use the shepherd and the sheep and give us something from the Word of God. If you want to preach through John chapter number 10, you'll see the shepherd and the sheep relationship and how that all goes together. And then here in Jeremiah chapter number 18, God shows us the potter and the clay relationship that God wants to do for you and He wants to do for me. And this morning, we want to be able to allow the Lord to do what He wants to with our lives. Here in Jeremiah chapter number 18, verse number 1, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord." This is nothing that he got from the Sears and Roebuck catalog. This is nothing that he got from Cosmopolitan magazine. This ain't what he got from Field and Stream. You men don't get mad at me now, but every now and then you ought to get a word from the Lord. Nothing wrong with other that stuff, and nothing wrong with sports, and nothing wrong with golf and all that thing, but every now and then you ought to try to get a word from the Lord. And Jeremiah got a word from the Lord, and he said, "Arise, Jeremiah." Obviously, Jeremiah was down. He said, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I want you to see something. There, I want you to see what I'm trying to get the nation of Israel to see. This is what I'm trying to get Holy Hills Baptist Church to see. This is what the Lord wants to show us." He goes down to hear the words. And he went down in verse number 3 to the potter's house. And behold, this potter, he wrought a work on the wheels. If you were to take a trip with me this morning and go down to the potter's house, you'll go into the potter's house and you'll see a big wheel up on its side. And it's being able to spin. And underneath that is the wheel that you don't see that he kicks with his foot and makes that top one spin. And he'll kick that bottom wheel where the top one will start to spin. And you'll see wrought a work on the wheels, plural. And he begins to kick that and make that thing spin. And then, but before any of that takes place, the potter has to go get him some clay. My friend, I just want to share with you just a few things. Here we see the potter, we see the clay, and we see the wheels when we go down to the potter's house. The Bible says in Isaiah 64 and verse 8, "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, we are the clay, and Thou art the potter, and we all are the work of Thy hand." You say, "Preacher, can He do a good work on me?" Well, He did a pretty good job on this world in 6 days. I mean, I think He did a pretty good job of throwing the stars up in the sky and making the Milky Way come out on dress display. And I think He did a pretty good job with that. So I don't think we have any trouble of Him doing a work on me and doing a work on you. And we see the potter, we see the clay, and we see the Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, if you will, as the potter. We are the clay, and we see the wheels as this life that we're going through. And my friend, I want you to notice the potter. Number one, the potter spots the clay. go back with me in your mind, in your imagination, if you will, and you watch this potter as he goes. He doesn't go out into the garden. He doesn't go out where the topsoil is. He doesn't go out where the good clay is. He keeps walking and he keeps looking, and all of a sudden he's way back in the middle of nowhere. He looks down and he says, "Man, this right here is just what I've been looking for." And he gets his shovel and he puts it down in there and it makes that popping noise. I can't do it. Some of you kids probably can do it with your mouth. But it makes that sucking noise. And he pulls up that clay and it's the filthiest, dirtiest clay that you can imagine. It's got trash in it. It's got leaves in it. It's got sticks in it. It's got rocks in it. Y'all with me? If you don't know this by now, that's where he found you too. And that's where he found me too. And I'm glad that Jesus came to where I was. I wasn't looking for Him. I wasn't looking for God. But one day God came looking for me. And I was sitting on a church pew as a 10-year-old boy. And God's just a-walking. The devil said, "You ain't gonna never be nothing. God won't never be able to use you." And God said, "That is just what I'm a-looking for. These young people is just what I'm a-looking for. Every person in this building, you are just what God is looking for." You say, "Preacher, I got sticks and I got mud and I got trash all in my life." My friend, that is just the first step. That is just the first step. When he's looking for the clay, he goes to the backside of nowhere. That's where he found you. That's where he found me. We might as well get excited this morning. We're nothing but clay. We're nothing but dirt. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, who we are nothing without Him. The Lord went to the Garden of Eden and He said, "Adam, where art thou?" Adam wasn't looking for God, but God came looking for Adam. And He scooped down, before He made Adam, He scooped down in the clay, and He scooped down in the clay. He formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's where He found you. And then He caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And then He caused woman to come from one of His ribs. One but two of them in the garden. Y'all ready? Some of you ladies are wondering, "I wonder how Eve ever knew. I wonder if she ever wondered if Adam was a cheating on her." So every night when they went to bed, she just counted his ribs. If he only had one missing, everything was all right. Now some of y'all get that about 2:00 in the morning. I was losing some of you, so I had to give you that. But watch this. God came looking for Adam, said, "Adam, where art thou?" Not because He didn't know where Adam was, but He wanted Adam to see where he was and to know that he was lost and to know that he wasn't looking for God. And God came looking for him. Boy, I'm glad for that. A lot of people, this predestination thing gets a lot of people all tore up. But can I say this? Predestination has nothing to do with salvation. But when God reached down and saw that clay in His mind, He already knew what that clay was going to be. He had already predetermined it was going to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. It was going to be formed. It was already predestinated. It was already planned out. Before the potter ever made it back to the potter's house, He already knew what that clay was going to be. Had nothing to do with salvation, but it sure had a lot to do with service. Oh, my friend, I'm glad He came looking for me, aren't you? I'm glad He come looking for me. Not only did the potter spot the clay, but number two, the potter separates the clay. He begins to separate. He frees it. He secures the clay. He said, "Hey, that's just what I've been looking for." I think Psalm 40 says something like this. "He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a solid rock and established my goings." Guess what He had to do when He got back to the potter's house? Y'all ready? You know what He had to do? He had to wash that clay. He found the clay, but my friend, when he got it back to the potter's house, he had to wash that clay. He had to separate that clay from everything and all of the elements that was around him and all of the trash. I think the Bible says something like this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, revilers or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. Ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of an Almighty God. Not only did He search and He found that clay, but when He found you, thank God He washed you by the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's never been a baptistry that ever washed away anybody's sins. There's never been a pope that would ever wash away anybody's sins. There's never been a Mother Mary that's ever been able to wash anybody from their sins. It's only by the cross. It always has been by the cross. And it always will be by the cross that Jesus still saves those sinners. Oh, He looks for that clay. He spots that clay. He secures that clay. He starts to separate that clay. You ready? Watch. After you get saved, everything just don't turn to a bed of roses. Y'all know that by now, don't you? I mean, the devil just don't go stick his head in the sand after you got saved and start leaving you alone. Guess what? God says, I already know what this is going to be. I already got in my mind what this is going to be. And He begins to pull, and He begins to pull them sticks out and old leaves, and all this, and He begins to wash this thing and wash it in His red blood. I'm talking about getting all this stuff out. Amen. And He begins to knead this thing. Some of you ladies know what that is. For them biscuits in a can came out. Y'all knew what that kneading was. And y'all knead that flour together. And y'all would be making biscuits, homemade cathead biscuits. I'm feeling spiritual about right there. And I'm talking about He began to pull that thing apart. And He'd put it back together. He'd pull it apart. He'd put it back together. He's getting that thing pliable so God could use it. And if that clay could talk, it would say, Lord, You are killing me. I wish You'd quit. Whatever You're doing, I wish You'd stop. I can only take so much. And God says, if you'll just yield to the hand of the potter, I know what I'm a-doing. And you don't know what you're going to be yet, but I know what you need. Amen. And it may feel like I'm tearing your heart out, my friend, but look, you just wait till the finished product. And He begins to tear and separate. And not only that, but he stirs it together. Not only does He spot it, He separates, He stirs it all together. He kneads it together, and He takes a wooden mallet. He puts it on the wheel, and He takes a wooden mallet and starts whooping it. And what it does, it gets all them air bubbles out. All them puffy spots. You know them air bubbles that make you... You know, if it rains, you might drown. He starts whooping you with that mallet and getting all them air bubbles out. You say, why does He have to get all them air bubbles out? It's because if He don't, at the front end, it causes a weak place in the pottery. It causes a weak place in the clay and it won't form right. So He has to, on the front end, beat all them air bubbles out. See, everybody, we get to think, well, Lord, save me. Look at me, man. I smell good. Got a nice tie on. Look at me. I smell good. And God says, like I lost my mind. Huh? He just went over beating them air bubbles out. Takes a little wooden mallet sometimes. Hey, we need a whooping every now and then. Amen. How many fathers and mothers? Look, He didn't put the clay in time out. Amen. He didn't put the clay in time out, make it go stand in the corner. He beat the tar out of that clay. Now, some of you new ones may not like that one, but some of these old folks, they reminiscing over that. I still feel that every now and then, man. I'm telling you, I do. It didn't bother me that much. I mean, you know, you say, well, you might warp the personality. Well, some of them need to be warped. Amen. But he begins to whoop that thing. And then all of a sudden, he gets all them air bubbles out. Y'all ready? And he takes this screen. Here's the last step before he puts it on the wheel. He takes a screen. And he'll push that clay through the screen. Like, you remember them Play-Doh things where you'd crank that Play-Doh and it'd pull through them little shapes and all them little sizes? Well, you just picture a screen, just like a window screen or whatever, maybe a little hole's a little larger. And he takes that clay and he begins to push it through that screen. And it's getting all the other stuff out, the little things. It gets all the gossip and stuff out. And it gets all the little things that we just, you know, well, I'm not a drunkard, I'm not an adulterer, I don't do some of them big sins. But the screen gets out the little sins. And he works it through that screen. And then all of a sudden the clay's like, oh my Lord, I cannot believe I'm going through this. I cannot believe you have left me. You don't love me anymore. I am no use to you anymore. And the Lord is saying, hey, just hang on. Just hang on. I got to get all this stuff off of you. You'll never be able to be used until you go through the screen. And the Lord says, man, I want you to be the beautiful, I'm talking about a beautiful saucer. I want you to be a saucer. And the clay is like, you know, I've always just wanted to be a pot. I mean, Lord, you don't realize this, but I've got talent. I mean, I've got ability. And God, I want to be a pot. And you see in the verse where it says the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And all of a sudden the clay just ain't wanting to do right. It's wanting to be a pot and the Lord's trying to make it a saucer. And then so the Lord just picks the clay up and says, well, this ain't working. I'm going to have to send you through the screen again. Oh, no, not the screen again. Oh, Lord, not the screen again. I'll get right. I'll repent. And he goes through them hard places in your life and you wonder why some of these bad... You wonder why maybe the kids don't act right or maybe the bad things are happening in the marriage or maybe things are not going right at the house of God or maybe it's your house or maybe just things are going on in the family that you just don't like and you just don't understand. And God's pushing you through that screen and pushing you through that screen to get away all the little bitty things that trouble us and keep us from serving God. Pushing through the screen. All of a sudden, he pushes him through the screen a second time, and he puts him back down on that wheel, and he starts to work. He said, yeah. He said, you know, clay, I want you to be a saucer. That clay says, you know what? I think I'd be a better pot. I mean, I think you're missing something here, God. I mean, I think I would be a better pot than I would a saucer. And then the Lord just picks up the clay, and then the clay's like, whoa, 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 whoa. What do you want me to be again? He said, I want you to be a saucer. And the clay says, I've always wanted to be a saucer. That's what I've always wanted to be. And it won't take very many troubles and trials to where you'll get the big picture and you'll say, Lord, I've tried to do it my way. I've tried to do it every other way but your way. But this morning I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to yield to the hand of the potter. I'm just going to let you mold me and make me to what you want me to be. And I'm tired of fighting you, Lord. I'm just glad I can still feel your touch. And all of a sudden that clay gets pliable. Gets workable. And he puts him on that wheel and starts to spin it, and you think your world is turning upside down. I mean, your world is spinning out of control. Anybody been there but me? I mean, you know, maybe your neighbor or something, but you know, maybe none of you people. I mean, everybody in here looks pretty good. I mean, y'all look pretty good saucers and pots and whatever. God may be working on some of you. He may be working on some of you, trying to get the little things out, and all of a sudden you become pliable, and he begins to spin your world upside down and turn it right side out, and you are spinning out of control. Lord, what are you doing to me now? Then all of a sudden he reaches down and gets him a little water. Puts it on that clay and makes it soft. you'll be in church, and man, I'm telling you what, me or Brother John, or somebody's preaching, and all of a sudden the water of the Word, I think that's what the Bible says, the washing of the water by the Word, all of a sudden you're sitting in church, man, saying, I'm liking that. I'm liking that shouting stuff. I'm liking that hallelujah stuff. I'm liking that amen stuff. And the potter's just putting a little water on there, softening you up, and you're like, man, I'm liking that. Man, that's feeling pretty good. Lord, just keep your hand on me. Lord, I don't care what you do, just keep both hands on me. I don't never not want to feel your touch. He sets that on the wheel and he begins to mold it and to make it. Hey, he's beginning to mold. He says, I knew what you was going to be. Look, I saw you out in that old dirty, nasty field. I saw you out in that field of sin. Nobody had any confidence in you. Nobody thought you could be anything. But thank God, I know what you can be. I see the end from the beginning. I know what you can be. You ain't there yet. But thank God, you just wait till he gets through working on us. You just wait till he gets done. He'll make something out of you if you'll just be pliable in the hands of the potter. If you'll just yield to the hands of the potter. The vessel's marred. He don't throw the clay away. He's got too much time invested. Listen, his son had to die on the cross to save you. He's got too much invested in you to throw you away. God's not going to throw you away. He's going to keep putting you through the screen until you get the big picture. He's not going to throw you out the window. He's going to keep working on you and working on you. Too much time has been invested. Then he begins to shape it. But watch. Let me share this with you. I've been to a potter's house. Had to go all the way up in the mountains, the Smoky Mountains, to see this done. And all of a sudden, up here on the shelf, there's a lot of little just lumps of clay over there. I said, Potter, what is that shelf over there? And he says, well, that's the clay that just don't want to be molded just yet. If you set them on the shelf long enough and let that air cure it, and just let time, just time, settle that clay down, there'll come a day when that clay will be able to be molded. But for now, he just got to set on the shelf. Hey, folks, I've been there. I've been set on the shelf to just let time cure. I've been set on the shelf just for let time and the air and everything just set on the shelf. But you know what? Over on the shelf, let me say something to you. Let me say something to you. When I was on the shelf, when I was out on God and on the shelf, listen to me. You don't feel the hands of the potter. You only feel the hands of the potter when you're on the wheel. On the shelf, you don't feel the hands of the potter. And my friend, I don't know, I hear preachers and they say, man, I don't want to be a castaway, I don't want to be a castaway. And that's bad enough, I understand, but let me tell you something worse than that. When you come to the house of God and you don't feel His touch anymore. That's worse than being put on the shelf. Paul says, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be set on the shelf. I don't want to be an old used up toothbrush or an old shovel in the back of the yard. I want to be used. I want to be used for the glory of God. I don't want to be sitting on the shelf. I always want to feel the hands of the potter. One day I surrendered and said, God, if you can use me, please come get me. I'm tired of sitting on this shelf. He begins to put you on the wheel. And he says, man, I feel a difference in this clay. Man, you must have been learning something over on that shelf. Huh? Some of us may be sitting on the shelf this morning just curing out. Just curing out. Hey, won't you ask him? Say, Potter, would you use me again? I'm tired of sitting on the shelf. Would you use me again? I want to feel your touch again. I want to feel the fresh breath of heaven blow across me again. He begins to shape it. Now watch. I'm winding down. Watch. He begins to take his hands and he'll mold that thing up, make it, put take his thumb, make it a little lip around that top of that vase. He'll take his thumb. I'm talking about pressure. Pressure. Has to put pressure on the clay. You think it's bad, but you just wait. Just wait till he gets done. God, I can't take this. I just can't take no more. My wife don't understand. My kids don't understand. I don't know why. Every time I turn around, everything, I mean, everybody else is doing just fine. Everybody else is doing this. Everybody doing that. But you're just about to kill me. And he's taking that thumb, making that little lip. on top. But guess what? After he gets that thing formed up on the outside, watch. Guess what he has to do? He has to take his hand and ream out the inside. He takes in the top of that vessel and reams his hand out and cleans out the inside. And he will rip you, I'm talking about from the inside out. You know what he's doing? That vessel has to be rid of himself. He's full of himself. Y'all not hearing me this morning? He's full of himself. And the only way God can do is dig all that self out. And he takes that thing to spinning real fast. He'll take his hand, run it down in there. Pull all that out. Pull all that out. Say, God, you're killing me. You're killing me. I can't take much more. What are you doing? He says, I'm just making me a place to feel. I'm just making me a place to where I can get in and feel it. I can pour my water in it, and it'll be a cool drink of water to somebody one day. If you'll just let me get rid of that self that's on the inside, I'm just making a place that I can fill with grace and mercy. I'm just making a place that I can fill you up with the water of the Word. I'm just tearing you out from the inside out so you can be used for the glory of God. As long as you're filled up with yourself and the garbage of the world, you cannot be used. You cannot pour water. You cannot hold water until you've emptied of yourself. He begins to go and he tears that out from the inside with his hands. Ephesians 5:26, but for you are sanctified, cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word, that he may present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that they should be holy and without blemish. You know what the only duty of the clay is? Is to yield to the potter. That's your only duty. Your only thing that you have to do. It's real easy. And when he gets it formed up, I got to hurry. Get formed up. Guess what he does? He not only does all of those things, but he sears it in the fire. He puts it in the fire to be hardened and to be molded and made and what it should be, and he puts it in that fire. My friend, you'll never know how good your marriage is till it's been through the fire. You'll never know how good your church is till it's been through the fire. You'll never know how your family is going to be until it's been brought through the fire. My friend, God purifies through the fire. It may look bad now, but I'm telling you, just wait till you come out on the other end. God's got something He wants you to be. He wants to use you for something, but you got to go through the fire. So He can make you what He wants you to be. I got to hurry. He sears it in the fire. Hey, can I say this? When they threw the three Hebrew boys in the fire, you know, y'all remember? Yoshak, Meshach, and Abednego. Y'all remember that? Three Hebrew boys. Threw them in the fire. Guess what? God always controls the fire. The king turned it up, what, 7 times hotter? God just turned her down. Yeah. Huh? I mean, they thought, Lord, you're about to kill us. We're going in this fire. And they turned up 7 times hotter. And God's like, well, the main thermostat's up here. I mean, the main thermostat's up here. I mean, you know, King, what's his face? He can turn it up 7 times hotter if he'd like to. But I can tell you what, going through the fire, my friend, I can make it where you need a coat. Amen. He's calling right now. Amen. Now watch this. He specifies its usage. He says, this is what I want it to be. And now, listen, watch this. I don't know what number it was, but no matter. Watch. When he gets done. Watch. Ready? He scribes. The potter scribes his name on it. I think the Bible says something like this, Phoebe. I think it says something like this. You've been bought with a price. Huh? And when you come through the fire, he just writes your name on there. Write your name. And that way when the devil comes around, the devil picks it up. I know who that belongs to. I felt something on that. I almost jumped off his stage. Y'all pray for me. But the devil comes around and says, can't touch that. I know who that belongs to. That's got somebody's name on it. Amen! He scribes his name on it. And then, I'm through. Lastly, He puts a glaze on it. Make it shine. He puts a little glaze on it. That sort of seals up all the holes and everything, you know. Seals up everything. I'm talking about something like sealed to the day of redemption. I'm talking about just seals it up real good. And then he puts it on display. So everybody comes in the pothouse. Woo! Look at that thing right there. But that name is always on that thing. Because that thing, you ought to have seen it when it started. That thing was dirt. I mean, we stuck that thing up from, I mean, we had to have a shovel to get that thing out. You ought to have seen all the rocks that was in that thing. All the leaves and all the trash that was in that thing. Say, preacher, we'll be able to glory. Look, and everybody sees that piece of pottery, they'll know that you didn't have anything to do with that. When God, if God accomplishes anything to your life, my friend, God will get to glory, because where some of us come from, if the Lord didn't save us, we'd have been on a bar stool somewhere. Hey, we'd be somewhere without God. We'd be sniffing dope up our nose and all this kind of stuff. But with God, He says, I'll put you on display. And when somebody sees you, says, man, alive, I never thought God would ever do anything for you like that. Only God could do that. Only God can do that. He puts that seal, that glaze on that outside. Well, let me ask you this. Where are you at in the hands of the potter? Are you even in the hands of the potter? Some of you may be sitting on the shelf, just curing out. You told the Lord, no, I don't want to be used. I don't want to be used. I don't want to be a Sunday school teacher. I don't want to take up an offering. I don't want to be a song leader. I don't want to do nothing. I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want to go to the mission field. I don't want to do nothing. God says, all right. We'll just set you right up here. And you just let me know when you want to feel the touch of God again. Just let me know when you want to feel His touch again. Just let me know when you want to feel His touch again. My friend, I'll be honest. I never want to go through life without feeling the Master's touch. Some of you may be on that wheel and you just don't know. You just don't know what God's doing. Can I say this? Don't tell God what you want to be. Don't tell God what you want to be. Just tell God, make me what you want me to be. How about you today? Listen to this song here. If you need to come, now would be a good time to come. Empty and broken, I came back to Him. A vessel unworthy, so scarred by sin. But He did not despair. He started over. And I bless the day He didn't throw the clay away. Listen, over and over He molds me and makes me into His likeness. He fashions the clay, a vessel of honor I am today. All because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. I am the clay, molded in His image. He wants me to stay. But when I stumble and I fall, and
my vessel breaks, He just picks up the pieces. He doesn't throw the clay away. Stand with me all over the building. Over and over, He molds me and makes me into His likeness. He fashions the clay, a vessel of honor I am today. All because Jesus, He didn't throw the clay away. A vessel of honor I am today. All because Jesus, He didn't throw the clay away.
Y'all believe that? Just wave at me this morning. Aren't you glad He didn't throw you away? Aren't you glad you can still be used by God? Some of you still need to come. Some are down here praying. Maybe you need to come and pray. Say, God, I want You to use me again. I want to feel Your touch again. I don't want to be on the shelf. I'm tired of being on the shelf. I'm tired of going through that screen. I'm tired of You ripping me apart. Lord, I'll yield to You. I'll yield. I'll do whatever You want me to do. I'm glad He didn't throw it away, aren't you?